thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Those brethren, they said, oh, our hearts burn within us. We know we've been with him. But Lord, you came to stay. Oh, my. Never to leave us alone. And Lord, I thank you, God. You're the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, thank you. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. But Lord, thank you. You're in us and you're for us. Your hand is upon us. God, I thank you, Father, that your hand is in that, and no man can pluck us out of his hand. Lord, it's a love that can never be separated. It's a longing and a desire, God, that you have that will never end. Lord, help us to receive the intimacy of it, and God, the fervency of it, the care, Lord God. Let us just cast all our care upon you, for you care for us. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your vessels that love the truth. We are much graced, and it's all because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God. Let's open our Bibles today. We'll be moving through some scriptures. First of all, we'll go to Hosea chapter 6. We'll swing back through Ephesians and land in 1 Corinthians. And so thankful to God how the Word of God tells us over and over, I love you, I love you, I love you. He tells you what he wants. He's God. I thank the Lord we have a God that does not beat around the bush. He has that heart, praise God, right out on that sleeve. It's ours. He's given it fully. But in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. That sounds pretty simple and pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Amen? It's never changed. Read that there. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. Have you found that out? And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. I've been blessed so in the Lord recently in ways I never have. This is double portion, praise God. Understanding that, you know, it was the Spirit of the Lord, praise God, in those precious brothers and sisters of the Old Testament that I thank God it wasn't only for them. It's for us, praise God. And that same Spirit, that same all-powerful Word, praise the Lord, can be alive and living in us. That he incorporates all time, and I thank God that that same praise and thanksgiving abides in those. As it says here, we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. If you want to know, you'll know. Nothing will stop it because it's God's desire, it's his plan. I thank the Lord, he so beautifully shows us that he desires us to know him. But we must follow the path of knowledge. It's very clear. This isn't any way, this is but one way. It's a way of knowledge. On the front steps of this church, 2 Peter 3:18. I was thankful that the Lord put it on our hearts to put that on the step. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beautiful, simple. Study to show thyself approved, a workman not ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. It's beautiful. He wants us to know the love of Christ. He wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. I thank God that by grace through faith, it was given to us through the Apostle Paul, this wondrous knowledge, a full knowledge, matter of fact. The Word of God told us that the Holy Spirit was given to lead us and to guide us into all truth. I thank the Lord that it's been made manifest to us, those things that were hidden. They were secret things, the Word of God says. They were hidden things, the Word of God says. But they've been made manifest to us. There's never a day that goes by that I don't think of how thankful I am to Jesus that those prophets, they wrote those things for us. It was that personal. It was that exact. That the Lord foreknew you. He foreknew you. He did. He foreknew. And whom he foreknew, he predestinated. God predestinated you because of the foreknowledge of his wondrous love, that you would have a heart that would receive this gospel. And he wanted you to have the much the more. As great as it would have been to stand there with Moses and watch the sea part. As amazing as it would have been to be there in the lion's den with Daniel and to be praising the Lord right along with him. But yet God saw in our hearts that there was a better thing that he prepared your heart to receive. I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. What does that mean to you? Really, what does that mean? I'll tell you what, I've got hit with the mercy truck. I've got hit with grace. Oh my, grace beyond. It's ours. And I thank the Lord that it is ours and so freely given. Going over to Ephesians chapter 1, this was Paul's prayer that the Lord put on Brother Paul's heart as he gave out this dispensation that was given to him, that this whole counsel of God, this mystery that had been hidden, that now is being made known unto us, the mystery of Christ in the church, the bride for the Lamb. And here in 1 Corinthians, how beautiful, I mean in Ephesians, excuse me, chapter 1, and in verse 16, it says here, Paul says, well, let's go back to 15. You have to watch when I start doing that. We'll go back to chapter, verse 1. But it says in 15, it says, wherefore I also, he's writing this letter to these Ephesians, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. I mean, this really encouraged his heart. He loved hearing this. But yet the Lord gave such increase and even more putting upon Brother Paul's heart for them. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now he really wants the Lord to give him something, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's that knowledge. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So in those three short verses, he tells us so beautifully that he's got a plan. And it's got an incredible purpose. And he's given all the provision in that spirit. And praise be to God in that spirit, even the power to perform it. I mean, he's just coming after you so quickly. I mean, we're in chapter 1. We haven't even got to chapter 3, 4, and 5. Now some, brothers and sisters, they want to wrestle with these things. And I'm talking about Christians. Heard the same thing here recently. A brother was testifying, and I know he's so full of the love of God right now. It's been tremendous to see the changing from glory to glory. Don't ever plateau with the Lord. He'll take you on. Don't do it. Just go on. But he was testifying to this man. He said, you know, of these things about the Apostle Paul and what Paul was brought forth. And he said, you know, the Word of God, it says to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Paul says that. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. I've been given this. And that man, and I've heard one say this right to my face. Christians, I don't follow any man. I follow God. And I sit there and I go, oh my. You're just confused and thoroughly set in your confusion. But, well, if you won't follow a man, then how about, will you build upon the master builder? Oh, oftentimes they'll say, well, yes, I will. But then I go, well, you know what, that's Paul too. Oh, yes, the Word of God says that. He's the master builder. And he said, you know what, we need to be, we have to take care of how we build thereupon. And then he said, well, I don't want that either. Well, how about the gospel then that'll judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ? Well, absolutely, I want that. Well, that was Paul's gospel, because Paul said that was the gospel given unto me that will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. And finally, I mean, man, how much you're going to just fight against this thing? And we could get down to, how about let's just preach the only gospel that there is, and we're not going to preach any other gospel. That's the one I want. Well, that's Paul's gospel too. Preach no other gospel. So, and those are just a few, but I think we can conclude if we reject that, what was given to Paul, and what the Lord put on Paul's heart to pray for, that he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory in his, of his inheritance in the saints. So if you don't want what Paul was given, you don't want God's knowledge. You don't. You can put that together. That's not being critical. That's preaching the Word of God. If you reject this of Paul's gospel, what you're rejecting is the high calling of God. And what you're saying is that you really do not care about the riches of his glory. That's the truth. You have to reject it. You have to reject it. Because it's been so freely given. It's been made so plain that if you do not want it, it's because of you. You'll never be able to blame anyone else. Oh, you know, we all try to. Well, I'm not going there because of this and that. Oh, that pastor said something. Listen to what he meant by that. Stop. Stop. My goodness. But see, even though this immense reward and responsibility that was given to Paul, you know what? It didn't go to Paul's head. Oh, no, it didn't. He knew it was all by grace. And matter of fact, with the Apostle Paul, he knew that it was the most abundant grace that it was given unto him, because he knew that he was the chiefest sinner. Now, it wasn't anything that even Paul knew of Paul. It was revealed to Paul by the Lord. Paul, I chose you to magnify my grace, son. I chose you because you are the most wicked. You are the poster child of wicked. You are completely self-righteous. You rejected my son. You are out to stop and kill in the name of self-righteousness my messengers. And I wanted to get to the heart of what this gospel is. It's the gospel of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Paul received that in such thanksgiving because the Lord prepared his heart. I thank God that this brother, he knew that it was grace. And the Lord then didn't just stop there. He faithfully took Paul on. How he faithfully took Paul on was that he let that thorn remain in Paul. He let the thorn remain in Paul. Paul knew, you can read through that. The Lord told him, he said, now look, if I take that thorn away from you, Paul, you're going to be exalted. You're going to tend right back to the only thing your flesh can do. Want to magnify you. Think about your flesh, what you can achieve. And it's just the battle that's going to be, son. So I know what I'm doing. And I'm going to leave that thorn there. It's going to remain, Paul. Because the excellency of the glory is always going to be of me and not you. Paul then took that and he learned to rejoice in infirmity. He began to realize that thorn, praise God, was a crown, just like the thorn of crowns that our precious Savior wore. I think how the Lord brought that to my heart. I finally got it. Lord, some things just ain't going to go away. You know those one or two things that you just don't want to go away? And you know that you're such a wonderful Christian that you could tell God, well, Lord, if you took it away, I'd just have a better testimony. I'd have such a better attitude. I mean, I'd come in here and I could give you more praise. He said, if I took that away, you wouldn't come here no more. See, it is. It's a beautiful thorn. If you treasure it today, it's what brought you in here with humility and need and thankfulness. Those thorns bring knowledge. They bring Paul's knowledge. That he does, he takes the things, the lowly things, the despised things, the base things to confound the wise. He seeks out those ones that even his, and they were those disciples, they came in by grace. They remained by grace. But somehow they just couldn't get rid of that religion right away. What is Jesus doing with that woman at the well? We have to teach him. We're not even supposed to be around them because they're just so far apart from the truth. Those people don't want to have anything to do with God. At that time, I'm confident you could say, well, palm wavers, I'm going over here to get the jewel. Now, Paul never gave himself any credit. No, he didn't. He was so thankful he knew that I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's what's so sad. See, children and foolish don't understand things. Oftentimes when you don't understand something, you'll criticize it. Yeah. Because it makes you feel uncomfortable. It could, just lots of different things. Grow up in the Lord. You'll understand why people, by the grace of God, and I pray we're always with great humbleness, and I pray that the Lord would be magnified in it because he's the only one that's humble. It has to be Christ in me. But to tell people about what God has offered and by the grace of God, what I know he's working in my life to win his very best. Oh, you think you're better than I am? No, I don't. But I know there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and I know it's there for you too. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, it comes but one way. It comes through one gospel. And that's not my words, that's the word of his grace. Study to show yourself approved unto these things, to know them. Amen. The word of God is so marvelous in how many ways it says these different things and tells you to grow up. That's all I have. My intent for you is the fullness of everything I have. When I come to you, I don't come with just a little bit and a little here. I give you everything. I give you my son. And in that Holy Ghost, as he comes to minister, praise God to those that he meets at the well, he had all the things of the master. It wasn't just a few things. He had everything. Amen. And it wasn't earned. It's just taken. Jesus. It's just sitting there. It says, well, Lord, this is grace. Take it. It's free. I was thanking the Lord, thinking about how Brother Hill would say to his son, you know, about having those shoes. Telling him about the story of that man who was going to give those shoes. He says, well, how much you want for them? No, you just have them. They're yours. No, come on. How much? Don't you understand what free is? Don't you understand I'm giving this to you? I don't want anything from you. I just want you to be thankful and take it. Amen. It never changes. There's no way to grow in the Lord but by grace. I thank the Lord for that. It's our praise always. It is his grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He always magnified it was the message and not the messenger. I love how he spoke going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So wondrous, this beautiful thanksgiving to God. He says to them in verse 3 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he says to them, you're still carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions, you're carnal and walk as men. For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal in saying that? See, there was Paul and Apollos and Cephas in another section of the Bible. And what they were doing was trying to say, well, I'm of Paul, so I'm a better Christian. Well, no, Apollos is my pastor. I'm a better Christian. Oh, well, you haven't seen anything yet. I got Cephas. And Paul said, stop it. As he says in verse 5, who then is Paul? Who am I? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered anything, but God that gives the increase. He's everything. See, we thank God for this, don't we? It's not Apollos, it's not Cephas, it's the message. And only the word of his grace can give that increase. Now, we have a convention coming, God willing, this next week. And I thank the Lord that by his grace, there's some fathers in the faith that are coming. Praise you, Jesus. And I thank the Lord for that. Go on over to the next chapter 4, verse 14 through 17. I love this. Rejoice in it. So 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 17. Now really, if you're just starting to phase out a little bit, phase right back in. This is important. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you. See, Paul's not shaming them. He's encouraging them to grow up. There's a chastening going on here. Because I'll tell you what, they're not settling down in the truth. They're here, there, and everywhere, Christians. Hopping to this, hopping to that. Well, let's get excited about this. They got great music over there. They got a great kids program. They got coffee at this one. You'll never read about entertainment with Paul. You'll never read about anything. The one food you'll hear about with Paul is called strong meat. That's all that was delivered. Praise God. So he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. I warn you. And here's the warning. You have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Man, he said that again there, didn't he? For this cause, as I have sent unto you Timotheus, who's my beloved son, and faithful, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Isn't that wonderful? Paul never had a different message. Never. He never sized people up. He said, well, I'm going to this church. He preached the same gospel every time in every place. Look at what he just said here, just in those short verses. He says, now listen here. I beseech you, be followers of me. I sent Timothy to you. He's faithful. And why? Because he's going to bring you back into remembrance of my ways, which in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, this was the man that said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He's making some statements that are very bold in what he has. But everything he has is of God. He's not magnifying himself. He's magnifying the message. He's magnifying that precious truth and love. And he believes the word of God. He doesn't doubt God. He knows what God has given him. I appreciate Peter. Peter was one that started out first hearing Jesus even face to face. You know, where else are we going to go? Some beautiful things. So wonderful. He loved Jesus. But he was going to tell Jesus about who he was and how faithful he was, how he would never leave him. Jesus even said, "Oh, Satan, get thee behind me. Peter, he's going to sift you like wheat, son. But I prayed for you." Peter goes on and he wrestles a lot of times in the Word of God. He's always drifting back to legality. Paul has to go to him later on as, you know, he starts to get a little bit fearful. He's getting around other people, going into other places, other churches. Starts to drift from the grace. Paul says, "Don't you do that." And finally and thankfully, as Peter in his last things the Holy Ghost wrote through him, Paul said many things which are hard to understand by them that are unstable in the Scriptures, amen, that wrestle with the truth. See, Paul's gospel is not hard, but Paul's gospel is impossible if you wrestle with the truth. That's it. It's impossible. It'll always be hard for you. If you're going to hear all these different winds of doctrine, you'll never settle in it. You won't. It can't happen because the Word of God says it can't. It's one gospel that was given. It was given through the Apostle Paul. And that's why Apollos preached it and Cephas preached it. That's why Priscilla and Aquila, they were the ones that took it in and they were the ones that feasted upon it, gave it out. Praise God with Timothy, that young man. And Paul only sent these ones out. Paul only sent to ones, well, you know, kind of down to the bottom of the barrel, I guess I'll just send this one out. No, it never happened that way. If there's ones that want to hear, God's always got a vessel. Always. Always. We don't have to get preacher's itch. We don't have to have Minister Mills. Nope. We all went to Brush College. Those that are new, you say, "Well, where's that?" It's in the sticks. And I'm rickety, stickety. But I know what he's given me. Now, we rejoiced in this precious truth, didn't we, a few Wednesdays back? This is paramount truth here. It's proof. It's sincerity that is proven and shows where are you and where am I with the bridal message. This is proof, complete proof. Do you really want to grow up or not as a Christian? Well, the Word of God is very clear here. If you are, you won't settle for anything less than a father in the truth to teach you. It's the truth. Fathers in the truth. You can read this and understand exactly what it is. It's the ones that preach no other gospel but Paul's gospel. There's no other doctrine to preach but the bridal message. That is the truth. That's it. Paul's message was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's message was that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's message is that you would grow up to the measure, fullness, and stature of Jesus Christ. Paul's message was that you would finish this course, your course, with the exalted rank of righteousness crown that wasn't given to him only, but to unto all them also that love his appearing.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
That's it. Now, so that's what fathers in the truth preach, and they preach no other doctrine but that bridal message. The Word of God that we read today tells us very clearly, there are 10,000, that means innumerable really, and they are innumerable, instructors in Christ. Instructors in Christ, that's a wonderful thing. I thank God, however, Christ is preached. But I love that word instructor, and you will never forget it after today. That word instructor means teachers of little boys. Look it up. There are 10,000. Thousands and ten thousands of instructors of little boys in Christ. Now, If you want to remain as a little son or a little boy in Christ, in the Lord, then you know what you're going to want? You're going to want an instructor. That's what you want. You'll go to it. You'll cleave to it. You won't want anything else. You'll hear a father in Christ say, I don't want that. I want the little boy teacher. But if you desire the heart of the Father for his sons, if you really want to grow up fully and completely in the measure and the fullness and the stature of Christ, then you know what? You're going to seek out a father in Christ. There'll be nothing else that you'll stand for. Now this is vital, and I thank God it's necessary. Matter of fact, as Paul says, beloved sons, I warn you. I warn you. I warn you. I'm warning. I'm warning. I'm warning. You don't hear any warning today, do you? Only warning you here anymore. Oh, you better have those Ten Commandments up on your door. He's warning them. What is he warning them about? He's warning them about the 10,000s of little boy instructors in Christ. Are you listening?
Amen.
Are you really, really listening?
Amen.
I pray you are. Don't let this just pass by you. It'd be such a sad thing. There will be a tear wiped from the eyes of those that go to the 10,000s of instructors in Christ. That's a tear, not a crown. Now, it's vital. The word, praise God, as he tells us, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the joint, the marrow, the very intents of the heart. There's a saying, well, they're swimming naked. Yeah, this is proof. Is it first love or not? That's the truth. Loving is appearing as a state of a heart, but that state is only going to be found in those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. You're not going to get there any other way. You can set out and say, well, I'm different. I'm going to do it this way. We're going to have the same result, just as we started in prayer today. Tell you what, I wanted to move along, naturally speaking. I thought, well, I don't want to disturb anything. And then that just went away. You wait on me. The Lord brought right to my heart about King Saul. King Saul didn't want to wait. Well, we'll still get to the same end result. No, you won't. You will never get there. It's going to be by his word and his word only.
Amen.
And it's a very narrow way. Now, God willing, we're going to have some fathers in Christ coming next week. We are. And I pray by the grace of God, we highly esteem them. And I'm going to tell you this, and I mean it very sincerely. They need it. God knows what we need. Not that they have to have it, but God, I'll tell you what, highly esteem them. You'll be an encouragement to them. The Lord says, honor those that preach the truth. And I can tell you what your encouragement of love of the truth and your love for me has done these years. I can't tell you. It's amazing to me. The word of his grace that you've taken in and the love that's built up. You tell me you love me. You let me know you love me. You love me as your pastor. And I do love being your pastor. There's nothing sweeter. There just isn't. Oftentimes, they're just this. And don't you get tired. Don't you get tired. Love don't get tired.
Amen.
Love don't get tired. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a rare thing. It really is a rare thing. And by the grace of God, let these ministers know how we appreciate those vessels. Paul encouraged as he sent those fathers out to preach to the different ones. He said, receive them in gladness and reputation. He said, receive them as you receive me. Will you? I pray we do. And I thank the Lord for it, because that's love shed abroad. So to conclude here today, you know what? It is all there, isn't it? It's all there. Full glory if we want it. Full glory if you want it. Moses took him at his word. He said, "Show me thy glory." That didn't come out of Moses. Go back and read that study that we've done on that. That was given of God. All he had to do was to say, "Show me. Show me." But yet, you know what? He's called us with more. He says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." He tells us, "He that wills to know will know." So, brethren, let us not fool ourselves. Let us not ask amiss. By the grace of God, seek the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, seek the better part. Seek the full reward. By the grace of God, I'll tell you this, reject the 10,000s of instructors in Christ that are trying to get you to hold and wave a palm. Take a crown. Take a crown. Oh, yes, take a crown. Paul's crown glory. And as he said about that crown that he was given, that exalted rank of righteousness that he received, he said, "Not unto me only, but unto all them also." Are you one of the all them also? By the grace of God, I can say that. By the grace of God, all them also that love is appearing. Jesus. Father, we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you that you have your way. That, Lord, we do. We just look to you. Lord, thank you that we don't go by sight. I don't go by what I feel. By grace through faith. It's that beautiful faith in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are. You're teaching us to wait upon you. Lord, the beauty, the fullness that comes forth as we wait upon you. Lord, thank you for your choice. Thank you for your calling. Lord, we give you this praise and thanksgiving today. Lord, and it's building more and more. We're becoming that sweet-smelling sacrifice of praise to you, Jesus. Thank you again for hearts that want it. Lord, you are the one that had to give us the desire. And we trust you with it, Jesus. We trust you completely that you will perform the good work that you have begun unto that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.